Please turn in your Bibles today to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have two passages of scripture. We'll read them back to back. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the next one, Acts chapter 5. And I gave you the page numbers there if you want to use your pew Bible. Let's hear God's word together. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Other passages, Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we consider your word. And Lord, help us to build something beautiful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I want to share with you that I've been praying about the direction of the church and about the future of First Baptist. You know that Pearl Street up the street there is closing or getting ready to, and in my mind, that's too close for comfort. We know that other churches in town have been diminishing and closing, and that's not news to us anymore, but with Pearl Street, our sister church, I'm taking that as a wake-up call for First Baptist. Now, it's not for me to diagnose the cause of anybody else's problems, any of those closures or anything like that. I don't know the inner workings of those other churches. Frankly, some churches ought to close. You know, if you're not preaching, if you're not preaching the biblical doctrine and the biblical Jesus, if you've departed from orthodoxy, you do the saved and the unsaved a favor if you don't continue. You're not speaking to the people all the words of this life, as we just read. It's better that you don't continue. And then there are maybe some churches that are preaching the biblical Jesus. They are preaching true doctrine, but have failed in some other way. And so because of shrinking membership or shrinking resources, they've been forced to close. Well, I don't need to go into what's the matter with anybody else. It's my responsibility, though, to prayerfully diagnose what may be the matter with First Baptist. Okay? The most obvious thing is what's visible to the naked eye. You know, you go to the doctor, and before the doctor orders, you know, enzymes and blood screening and all kinds of esoteric tests, you know, he does the obvious thing first. He takes your temperature, he weighs you, he tells you to stick out your tongue and say, ah, he takes your blood pressure, you know, the obvious things. What's the obvious symptom here? The fact remains that as long as I have been around First Baptist Church, which is now going on 15 years, the church hasn't grown. Which doesn't mean that the Lord hasn't been at work here. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord is displeased with us. Okay, those kinds of things are just not measured by the number of bottoms in the pews. Am I right? Nor is it to say that we haven't made some good use of the last 3.5 years. I really believe that we have. In many ways, I'm happy. There have been some good things that we've started. There have been a couple of old things that needed to be discarded that were discarded. I think there were some repairs that needed to be made that have been made. There are signs of life. I mean, there is real potential. But the fact is that the church hasn't grown numerically. Numerically. If you take a copy of our Constitution and read the Article 3, I think it is, vision statement, it says a spiritually and numerically growing body of Christ, living in the love, grace, knowledge, and unity of Jesus, glorifying God as his disciples. Okay, spiritually and numerically growing. Now, if you've been spiritually growing, I mean, goodness, if we have not been spiritually growing, then I've been total failure. I don't know what we've been doing. Okay, if we've been spiritually growing, that is something for you to testify and not me. Numerically, though, numerically, if we continue at the present rate, we will eventually have to close our doors as well. Eventually. How long it takes pretty much depends on how long you all live. One by one, our senior saints are going to go to their eternal reward. Yes? Those who are our elderly role models and our leaders are not going to be around forever. And unless the church grows numerically, we will just continue to lose members by attrition. Okay, we have buried some of our saints in the last 3.5 years, and that is going to continue to happen. So believe me, there are things to praise God about. There are strengths, and I praise God for them. The major weakness, as I can see it, the major reason that First Baptist Church has not enjoyed growth, okay, we have survived, but we have not grown, I think you must admit, the major reason is our approach to outreach. Reproducing the flock. Okay, now we have had a few new people come to us in recent years. We welcome them. But most of those faces, let's be honest, have come to us from other churches. They have not been brought to the Lord by us. Yes or no?
Yes.
That's not reproduction. Okay, that's just reshuffling the deck. Okay, it's just reorganizing the one big flock. Okay, now Christians, of course, acknowledge, I think you would all acknowledge generally, outreach is something that we ought to do. Soul winning, if you want to call it that, okay, is something that we are to be engaged in. And I know that you all know that it's everybody's job. It's not just the minister's job. And I know that you know it. I know that you've heard it from Pastor Morgan that shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Yes? You know, I think, that it's everyone's job to share Jesus. And that's not something that you need to be told. Outreach is the congregation's responsibility. And it's something that we have done In fits and starts, okay? We have an event here or there. We have movie night once in a while. We're having one tonight, okay? But I know that you can all recall some previous movie nights where who showed up? It was just us, right? It was just us. And maybe, Uncle Horace prints the flyers. Maybe we'll give a flyer to a Christian friend or two that we know might be interested in a Christian movie. Okay, but we haven't aggressively, intentionally, confidently promoted and used events like that to bring in outsiders, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and so on, and set before them Jesus and present Jesus to them. Okay, look at who we worship. Look at who we love. Okay, we have had movie nights, but it's really been like for a night of enjoyment. Right? Which it should be. It should be enjoyable. I'm glad it's all right. I'm glad we're doing that. But it also needs to be an opportunity to seize, to present people with the message that they can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Okay? Confront them with the gospel, listen to their questions, and follow up with them. Okay? We just read it in Acts chapter 5. Go out into the temple. Speak to the people all the words of this new life. Go out and tell, okay? Now, that's something that we have done pretty good inside these four walls. But outreach, okay? Outreach has just not been something that we've concentrated on an effort specifically to bring people to Jesus, okay? We haven't concentrated on how to do it, what needs to be in place both interiorly and exteriorly in order to go about it, okay? We haven't trained, and so we haven't put things into practice, and so we haven't grown. Now, if there's blame to be laid for that, I will take it, okay? I will take it. I must admit that in the last couple of years, I have not been intentional about outreach. I have not been visionary about outreach, okay? We read in Timothy, Paul tells young Timothy, do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Okay, we just read that, 1 Timothy 4, 5, or 2 Timothy 4, 5. Fulfill your ministry. Another one, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul tells another man, tell Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so that you may fulfill it. Okay, do it all. And I look back on the last few years and see that, you know, I haven't given intentional effort to outreach specifically. Not that I haven't thought that it's important. I do believe, actually, that the Spirit has been preparing us in some other ways along the way in order to kind of get us to where we are at today. My focus so far, though, you know, has been on doctrinal matters, it's been on teaching, it's been on some organizational matters, and on maintaining the things that we already have in place. We have morning and evening service, we have Wednesday night, Sunday school, and almost all of my effort has been going into those things, plus, you know, like writing reports and doing bulletins and things like that. Okay, all of that stuff is necessary, going visiting, all right, needful things. And I know that a lot of you are, you know, you're in it up to your neck, and you're doing lots of needful things too, and you've been working hard. This area, though, this area is something that we've not as yet given it the attention that it deserves. So now that the last preaching project in the prophets is kind of behind us now, and at the same time, this summer, three or four local churches within a mile of us have closed their doors and Pearl Street is on the way. I have asked God to save us from going that same way. And I need you, the congregation of First Baptist Church, to be asking him that same thing. Show us how to do it. Because if we don't do it, there's going to be no ministry. There's going to be no us sooner or later. Now, let me tell you this. I have been greatly encouraged by the Lord in the past few days, the past few weeks. Okay, have, as I've prayed and as I've seen things, I can't enumerate them all, but many things, small things and big, have happened where I perceive that God has heard our prayers and is beginning to put some things in place. Things, as my mother-in-law would call it, God's choreography, all right? You couldn't have planned these things, they happened, right? And you can tell the Lord's hand is in it, that show me that Jesus is not yet ready to take away our lampstand, okay? And if you don't know what I mean by that, then read Revelation chapter 2, okay? Certain things. Things that seem coincidental. Things about the timing and the location of Danielle's work over the last couple of weeks that, you know, got her in the right place at the right time, just in time to do Kids Club, to do Good News Club. Things that just so happened to fit into my schedule. A chance meeting with another pastor this week on Tuesday who is older, he's more experienced, he's been where we are now, he's built a church from a few, he had a lot of great suggestions for me, he had some rather pointed, piercing questions for me. I didn't set out to meet him, I didn't go looking for this man to give me advice, but we crossed paths, we happened to meet and spent several hours together this week. In the same period of time that I'm asking God, okay, now what's going to happen with First Baptist? Okay? Things have happened. Also, the Lord has opened my eyes afresh to the fact that there are no less than 3 ripe fields of harvest within arm's reach of our church. Figuratively speaking, we have the high rise right next door. We have literally dozens of unsaved people coming onto our church property Monday through Thursday night because of the English classes, the citizenship classes, and the GED classes, okay? And we have the Good News Club that is thriving, but it remains one thing short of its goal. Now, it's Child Evangelism Fellowship. If you go to their website and see that the Good News Club has a threefold purpose. The threefold purpose is to, number one, evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's being done. Number two, to disciple them in the Word of God. Okay, so those who know Jesus already, they're learning how to live. That's being done. Number three is to establish them in a local church for Christian living. Now, if we want to let the Good News Club kind of be Nedra's thing, Nedra's ministry, okay, and it's a mission that the church supports, and but it's kind of separate from the church, you know, it's good to hear the good reports coming from there and so on, okay, great, but if nothing is done intentionally to direct those children and their families to this church and plug them in so that the electrical current of the Spirit of God can flow. Do you know what's going to happen? First Baptist Church will eventually die. And then the Good News Club will die too. Then there's no ministry. Anyway, there's at least three sizable potential fields of harvest. And that's not even mentioning your own family circles, all right? Your neighbors, your co-workers, your people that you know. Okay, it's a fourth potential field of harvest. So what has prevented the potential from becoming actual? Do you know what I mean? Okay, we know that there's unsaved people out there. We know that Jesus is able and he is willing to save them. We believe it would be a benefit for them to come here and be part of our number and part of our regular fellowship. But we haven't actually caught any fish or many fish. Okay? People who are already Christians have come and stayed, and that's great. Okay? But we haven't exactly been bringing in the sheaves as far as bringing people to Jesus Christ, doing the work of an evangelist, okay? Proclaiming to the people all the words of this new life. What happened when the apostles went out and did what the angel told them to do? Tell the good news. that God has sent the Savior that he promised, and how we know it's him, how we know it's Jesus Christ. What happened? Verse 14 of Acts 5 says, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So what's the matter with our outreach? What has hindered us? What's kept it from being effective? What's kept the potential from becoming the actual? The answer is, a lack of vision, a lack of concrete intentionality, and a lack of means. And by that I mean specific projects and things for people to put their hands on and get involved in. You know, by what method, what are the things we will be doing to bring people, say, in the high rise, into the sphere of influence of our church and present them with Jesus Christ. Okay, as far as vision, many times we have kind of looked at each other and said, well, you know, the door's open. People know where they can go to find out about God. So if they don't come, must just not be God's will. You know, this is the way the world is now. It's hopeless. You know, people just aren't interested in religion and morality and eternity anymore. It's just not that important to people anymore. So what do you expect? To that, I say this. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. All things are possible to him who has faith. To say this is hopeless is to turn away from faith. Okay, what are we saying? Do we really think that the people out on the streets or in our neighborhoods are beyond God's reach? Okay, it's easy to make a blanket statement and say people just don't care. Yeah, some people just don't care, but you don't know individual cases until you meet the individuals. And to say that it's hopeless simply flies in the face of the biblical teaching that God will save anyone, that God would have all men to be saved, that the message of the good news is to be preached to every creature under heaven. Amen. And furthermore, that God makes his appeal not directly to the heart of a man. He does it through people, through messengers. Okay, that's right from the Bible, from 2 Corinthians. God is making his appeal to you through us. Be reconciled to God. He doesn't call people silently through dreams. They don't just wake up one day and say, hey, you know, I think I'll go over and try out First Baptist Church. You know, I feel like trying Jesus today. I never tried Jesus before. No, Christ has committed his work. Okay, it's called the Great Commission, right? He's committed his work into the hands of believers, into the hands of local churches. Whether the church closes or remains open or shrinks or grows isn't something about which we just say, well, maybe it must have just not been the Lord's will. Well, if he sends us some people, I guess it just wasn't God's will for Pearl Street Baptist to remain open. And who can challenge God's will? That's not how this works. It's a matter of our will. It's a matter of having a vision. We want to be the Lord's co-laborers. We know fish are going to get caught, and we want to do some of the catching. We want to catch these fish. Nobody's fishing for these fish. So if we don't fish for these fish, they're not going to get caught. We want our friends to know Jesus. We want to be the instrument by which it happens. That's a vision. We want to be God's co-laborers. Then there's intentionality. Intentionality. Are you willing? Am I willing? Not just wishing. Am I willing to be intentional in seeing this vision become a reality? Okay, I might wish for a raise. I might wish for a promotion. I might wish to kick a habit. I might wish to lose weight. Okay, I think we all know it is, oh, I wish I could lose some weight. Unless you are intentional and say, this is going to happen, Okay? I may wish I knew the Bible better, but until I apply myself intentionally, if I just sit around wishing, it's not going to ever happen. If we just wish that people would come to First Baptist, but we don't go out with the intention to bring that vision to pass, it just won't happen. Once that decision has been made, that we are going to do this, then the only thing that remains is the means. Okay? Once we decide we are going to change the way we do ministry, and we are going to grow the church, what remains is the means. What specific things are we going to do to minister Jesus? We want to build something beautiful for Jesus. So I need the tools. I need the know-how. I don't know how to do this. Show me what opportunities suit me best. Show me how you have prepared me. What you have equipped me for. Maybe it's I want to start a little group Bible study for other single moms, you know, in my apartment. Okay, people who are in the same situation as me. Maybe I want to start a coffee club and have a little Bible study gathering. Maybe I want to cook breakfast for the men's breakfast once a month. Okay, maybe I'd like to organize that. I always thought it'd be fun to put together, you know, a pickup basketball league or something like that, or a cycling club. But, you know, I just don't know how to get started. I'm not sure what to say to my bowling buddies or my cycling buddies about Jesus. And so it's just, you know, it's been wishful thing. It's just never come together. Okay, those are means. Okay, and what we need to do is implore the Lord God to open up our eyes, to stimulate us, to give us ideas. What are the good ideas? What are opportunities? Help us to see and seize the opportunities. Give us some open doors. Make us see Jesus so clearly and to so identify with him and his heart for people that we just want, okay, more than anything, even if we're shy people, and many of us are, okay, but even if we're shy, we want to see people getting interested in Jesus and coming to eternal life. Okay? You don't have to be an encyclopedia. You don't have to be a Bible master, right? You don't have to be a street preacher. There's means. There's DVDs. There's little booklet Bible studies. That, you know, okay, there are things that exist. It's just a matter of asking for the Lord's direction and his inspiration. Okay? We have some bits and pieces in place. And praise God for them, okay? Let's call upon the Lord for help putting the whole contraption together and seeing people come to new life. More than people who are already Christians saying, hey, you know, look at that handsome young preacher they've got over there at First Baptist. Let's go check him out. No, okay? People being brought into the kingdom of God. People being brought to spiritual birth. And if it should so be that you labor all of your days and bring but one soul unto him, how great will be your joy in the kingdom of our Father. How great will be your joy. So that's by way of preamble of things to come. Okay, I have spent some time considering how to use my time up here not only for your instruction, but also how to conceive and bring to birth a vision to grow our church, okay, a vision for the future. And all I want to say is let's be clear about what's our motive, okay? We have to get this right off the bat, otherwise the whole thing is on the wrong foundation. This is not to have a membership campaign for First Baptist Church, okay? It must not be for the sake of, oh, how are we going to keep the doors open? How are we going to stay in the black? Don't you see how we're bleeding money? This has got to stop. Okay, no, wrong motive. It has got to be for the glory of God. Amen. So that, as the scripture says, so that the Gentiles will give thanks to God for his mercy. This is so that Jesus Christ can be made known. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So you can't get that backwards, okay? Jesus is not a tool that we will use to keep First Baptist open. You take my meaning? To draw people here so that this entity that's First Baptist Church can continue to go on. No, this is for Jesus. We want to build something beautiful for Jesus because we love him and we honor him. So in my meditations over the last couple of weeks, the Lord, I believe, has set before me a good number of portions of scripture to go through with you over the coming season or so. The first few chapters of Acts and the evangelistic sermons that are in the book of Acts have been a lot in my mind. The letters that Jesus himself spoke to some churches in the beginning of the book of Revelation, they have a whole lot to say to us, some of which is commendatory and some of which is kind of painful to hear. But we have to hear it. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are one of those churches. Those things are spoken to us. We have to take them to heart and put his words into practice if it is our will to have our church continue, to have our lampstand stay lit. We have to be more than willing. We have to be equipped to do this good work for which for the Lord Jesus, okay? We have to have a heart of Jesus. So I'm just saying I want to use my time in the pulpit for a while directed toward this purpose. It will still be expositional. It will still be teaching. We're going to be exploring the Bible, okay? But it will be with the intent of growing the church. Not for the sake of the organization, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, the fields are still white unto harvest. They have not withered yet, okay? I believe we have laid a good foundation in the last couple of years. We've made a good start, okay? There are some more changes to be made. Perhaps some organizational changes. Things have moved. I think for the last couple of months, we have just been kind of enjoying the status quo and enjoying the state of, okay, it's time for us to move some more. It's time to take up the purpose for which God has called us, and that is to declare. Declare the wonderful works of God. To declare to the people all the words of this new light. So I need you to pray for a clear vision, because without a vision, the whole thing perishes. I need you to pray for willpower, for the intentionality, or it will never get past the sermon. It will never get past the bud stage. And pray for the means, because without the means, it's all just ideas, okay? Without means, the fruit dies on the vine. Now, I will confess to a certain amount of anxiety, but I'm also excited, okay? I am excited because I think this is how we are going to see for real that God is with us, okay? It's not going to be because you have a skilled and talented preacher or anything like that who's an expert evangelist. That I don't think I am, okay? But God is our dad. He's our Abba Father. Jesus Christ is our great Savior. He is our brother. He is our kinsman. He's our friend. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. So let's build something beautiful for Jesus. Okay, I have a verse for you. It's Ezra 10 and verse 4. Ezra 10 and verse 4. It says, "Arise, for this matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it." Lord God, establish the work of our hands. We pray, dear Father, that you would assist us in bringing glory to your name. Make us indeed fishers of men. Help us, dear Father, to have a vision. Help us to have the willpower, the desire to see it come to pass. Inspire us with ideas, the right things to do, the right words to say, how to teach, how to go. Lord, equip us for the work and send us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our neighbors in the high rise next door. 100 apartments, Lord. We ask you, dear Father, that you would help us to reach this harvest field because there are some there that do not even know who Jesus is. And we pray for Revive South Jersey and for the different kinds of services going on next door as people from another country try to learn English. They try to become United States citizens. They try to get some education, Father, so that they can better themselves and be productive. All noble things, Lord, and we pray that you would help us see how to reach out to them. And we pray for the Good News Club, oh, especially, Lord, for these little ones. We pray, dear Father, that you would pour out your Spirit into all of the workers in the club. Thank you, Lord, for Nedra to be the point person, to lead the way, to teach and to study and to pray for these little ones, Lord. We pray for the salvation of more of these children. Thank you for the two that have come this last week, the three that have come this last week. And Lord, please continue to quicken little children's hearts. Let the message be loud and clear. Jesus loves them. Jesus came into the world to die for them. Jesus is the answer to their difficulties, and he can help them in all of their problems, great or small, family problems, school problems, racial problems. Lord, Jesus is our King and our Master and our Savior. Help us, dear Father, to be a light on top of a hill. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.